It seems quite a little bit of time since we have started into Psalm number 46. Psalm 46 was written around the circumstances and the victory that Hezekiah saw as Assyria sought to invade Jerusalem. And we've begun to see, as we've looked into this psalm, some of the secrets that they had that sustained them against this ongoing siege that Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, had laid upon them and had inflicted upon them. And we've been applying that to our own besieging, shall I say, of the pandemic that has hit our world and our land and our lives. And we've seen some of the secrets, some of the help that comes from this psalm, that we can apply it to ourselves as well. And I know that we've been slowly going through it, and I don't intend to prolong it much longer. But we've looked at, first of all, we've looked at the essential review. We looked at the background of it all. Then we looked at the exceptional retreat. God is our refuge and strength. And then just last week we began to look at the excellent resources that we have. Let me read these verses again to you. Psalm number 46, and reading from verses 4 to the verse 9. It says, "There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, she shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved, he uttereth his voice, and the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us, the God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our strength." And as we looked at this mighty river, we had to do a little bit of background digging again. And we discovered that one of the strategies that Hezekiah did was that he cut a channel, a conduit, from outside the city where the spring of Gihon fed and resourced the water supply within Jerusalem. And he so camouflaged it that the enemy never discovered it. And so therefore they had an inner strength, they had an inner peace, they had an inner confidence. They had an inner supply to help them through all the various situations that they were facing during the siege. One of the most important things in the middle of a desert and in a situation like that was the water supply. We looked at the mighty reserve. We likened that to God our Father. When we feel troubled and when we feel distressed, or when we need mercy, when we need a sense of joy and belonging, we come to him and we've got it in abundant supplies. God comes in an abundant supply, and we finish that little song, "I'm living on the mountain underneath a cloudless sky and drinking at the fountain that never shall run dry." We have a mighty reserve in our God. We never drain the resources of our Heavenly Father. He's abounding in love. He's long-suffering. He's patient. He's gentle. He's good and he's kind. And when we feel disturbed and when we feel perturbed, we can come to him and we can resort to him and get that confidence and assurance and that mercy and that grace and that sense of belonging and that love that overflows our hearts once again in the midst of all the difficulties we face. Then we looked at the mysterious resident. The Lord of hosts is with us. Not only is the God of Jacob with them, the God of the eternal, but also the mysterious resident, the Lord of hosts. We realize that is the Lord Jesus. He's the captain of the host of the army of God. And one of the main points to be brought from that is he never leaves us. He never deserts us. He's always with us. He's the one that helps us fight, face our foes and helps us fight our battles. He's the one who was with Daniel in the lion's den. He was the one with Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego in the fiery furnace. He was with Stephen when he was being stoned to death. He was with Moses as he was facing opposition from the people. He was with Jacob as he fled from his brother. And we drew so many parallels. He was with the two on the road to Emmaus. He never leaves us. He's a faithful friend. And even though our world might be falling apart, and even though our smile might be receding, and even when our love is fraying, and when we think we're at the end of a tether, He's that friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And we finished with that little song, reach out and touch the Lord as He goes by. You'll find He's not too busy to hear your heart's cry. He's standing by this moment, your need to supply. Reach out and touch the Lord, and He'll take you by the hand. He'll lift you up. He'll encourage you. He'll assure you. And He'll give you confidence to stand when you feel that you're about to run out of all your patience. The third thing, and there's a song about this part. There is a marvellous river. There is a river that flows from God above. One of the greatest promises that you and I have is that whenever we come in repentance and faith and trust Jesus Christ as Saviour, we are promised the filling of the Holy Spirit. Here's what God's word said. If ye being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more should your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? It's one of the most wonderful promises in God's word to help us as we face the inner struggle. We not only have the Father with us and that bountiful supply of grace and forgiveness and mercy. Not only have we the Son who helps us and strengthens us and encourages us and takes us by the hand and helps us face the foe. But we've got an inner strength. And right throughout the scriptures, from Genesis to Revelation, we are promised the Holy Spirit. Let me read a few verses to you. It says in Isaiah 55 verse 1, Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come buy and eat. Ye come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Isaiah 43 and verse 20 says, I will give waters in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Isaiah 43 and verse 3, For I will pour water on him that is thirsty and floods upon the dry land. I love those Old Testament prophecies, pictures of the blessing of the Holy Spirit reserved for the people of God alone. They speak of reviving, they speak of refreshing, they speak of restoring, they speak of renewing, they speak of revitalizing, and they speak of reinvigorating. Remember Elijah on the Mount, Brook Cherith, when everyone was parched for water, Elijah had a secret supply. God had supplied it to him. And that is the picture, the parallel of the Holy Spirit to you and I. Well, Jesus brings that promise into the New Testament. And He said in John chapter 4, verses 13 to 15, Jesus speaking to the woman of Samaria, Whoever drinks of this water shall thirst again, speaking of the well, Jacob's well. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall become a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. Not only a trickle, but an overwhelming flood that propels us, that we're not living and working and acting on half empty, but we know that overflow of His grace and His power. And in John chapter 7, verses 37 to verse 39, on the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried and said, If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scriptures have said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And this he spake concerning the Holy Spirit. All the way through the Bible, right through from Genesis to Revelation, we have the wonderful picture. Actually, in the book of the Revelation, John gives us a wonderful description of that river. That river with its healing and its helping and its encouraging and its empowering properties. What a wonderful description. And the only thing we can do is bow down and worship and praise a God who's made such wonderful provision for us. He is the Holy Spirit, the inner resource, the inner reserve, the dunamis, the dynamite of God with each one of us. And if we don't know it, then we have missed the greatest potential of all, that infilling baptism of the Holy Spirit, enabling us and empowering us. I think of some of the similarities of Hezekiah's people. When they were being threatened, they didn't say a word. They kept quiet. Whenever they were besieged, we don't see any of them turning tail, jumping over the wall and fleeing. We don't see them trying to escape from all the things that were happening. No, they continued on and they faced the foe and they saw the fight and it was won. I'm going to digress a little for a wee moment, because I was reading a book by Ivor Powell, Luke's Thrilling Gospel, and in reference to Luke chapter 3, verses 15 to 16, he says this: "Now as the people were in expectation and all reasoned in their hearts about John, whether he was the Christ or not, John answered, said to all, 'I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I is coming, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to loose. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire.'" Here's what Ivor Powell said about that wonderful promise, about the coming of the Holy Spirit. And he gives us a little outline, and I'm just going to pass it on to you. He says, first of all, the fire of the Holy Spirit destroys. See, he's speaking and thinking of a forest fire. A furnace is a place of absolute destruction. When the Holy Spirit comes into our lives, he burns up all that is evil in our nature and our character. And as we go on with him, he continues to burn up all that is evil within our nature and our character. And the force of evil, says Ivor Powell, diminishes as God, by his Holy Spirit, controls his people. Fire destroys, but fire softens. I love what, I think it was Matthew Henry says, the same fire that hardens the wax softens the clay. And oftentimes we've got a character that is so hardened by sin and by the fall that we cannot be moulded into and fashioned into the likeness of Christ. But when the Holy Spirit comes, he softens our character, he softens our nature, and we're easily moulded. And the only thing that prevents us from becoming more like Christ is the stubborn pride that holds on to the deep, dark recesses of our own hearts. Fire softens, but also fire purifies. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 2, we have a wonderful picture of the refiner of precious metals, and as he uses the fire to burn off the dross. Very similar to fire destroying, only this time it's the use of the Holy Spirit that uses the fiery trials of God to bring us into difficult, dark and dangerous places, to encourage us to trust him, to put to death the old self-life and to trust him to lead us. Fire cheers. I don't think of anything more welcoming than a fire on a cold winter's night. I think of nothing more welcoming than the warm glow of the Holy Spirit within a fellowship, within a group, or within a home, or within your own heart. It's that kind of glow that attracts others to you, that they makes them feel at home with you. And in the coldness of persecution, or in the coldness of accusation, or in the coldness of tribulation, we can know the glow of the Holy Spirit. Fire heals. Whenever we've got pain, we get deep heat patches. When we've got a sore neck, we heat a towel and we put it around our necks. And I love, and I draw the parallel. There is a balm in Gilead that heals the sin-sick soul. It heals. Fire defends. I think of firemen who are dropped into a forest fire. They're dropped a mile or two ahead of a forest fire, and they set the fire, the forest ablaze, and they stand upwind and watch the fire take off. And then when the fire behind them comes, there is nothing to eat up. There is nothing to burn up. There is no material. When the Holy Spirit is filled and thrilled, the child of God, it's very difficult for that child of God to return back into the world. Something of the thrill of Christ and the character and nature of Christ has filled their soul, and they are very reluctant to go back into the ways of the world. I struggle with those who step back into the world, who say they were once filled with the Holy Spirit. I know it's possible. Let him who stand take heed, lest he fall. And I said something at the drive-in service on Sunday past, that whenever COVID-19 is got, whenever we come out of this and we stand in the ashes of COVID-19, I fear for the dereliction, for the devastation that has been wreaked upon the Church of Jesus Christ. The only thing I believe that's going to help us stand won't be hot preaching. It won't be how comfortable we were. It won't be all the measures that the government has taken. I believe it will be determined by the level and the depth of the Holy Spirit and his hold in our lives, and how he has brought the attraction of Christ to our souls. Fire supplies. A man long ago watched a fire as it was boiling the kettle, and he could see that the steam was lifting the the lid of that kettle. And hence, Robert Louis Stevenson developed the first steam engine. He discovered this power in fire if it's applied with the water. God takes the word, which is often likened to water, and by his Holy Spirit he begins to empower us to live in this godless age. And I think that is one of the things that we are missing today, is people of power. We sing that song, but we know what it means. I'm building a people of power, and I'm making a people of praise. And it's all very well and very easy to do that when things are going well, but it's a different thing entirely when things are going not so well. I think it's high time we discovered our potential. I think it's high time we claimed our heritage. I think it's high time we stepped again back and took a look at where we are, where we're going, all our activities, and once again allowed the Holy Spirit to fill every area and every avenue of our lives. And I believe if we allow that, if we enter into that, if we make a pact with God, we won't leave our rooms or homes, and we won't go back into our church buildings until we are filled with the Holy Spirit. I believe there'll be a different climate, there'll be a different temperature, and there'll be a different activity in the churches of Jesus Christ. And it can begin right now with you, where you are, right at this point, right at this moment. And instead of seeing COVID-19 as something overwhelming and negative, we can see it as something positive, because it was there in those fiery trials that I discovered again the newness and the fullness of the Holy Spirit. May God bless this word to your heart, and may we apply its truths to all of our lives. Father, I pray that you'll use this word to instill the value of what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit as we face these days. Lord, we pray your blessing upon your people in Jesus' name. Amen.